This episode is brought to you by Soundgear Phantom, the world's first custom Bluetooth compatible and rechargeable ear protection. Check them out online at soundgear.com.
You are now tuned into Shotgun Sports USA, powered by Winchester. Recorded in the U.S.
and streaming all over the world.
We talk to shotgun shooters from all disciplines, championship-winning coaches, gun clubs, world-class target setters, vendors, and industry-leading companies that fuel the sport. If you are into clay target sports, you are at the right place for insider information from some of the best in the world every single week. Remember to subscribe to our podcast, leave us a review, and connect with us on social media. You can also catch our episodes on ShotgunSportsUSA.com.
Winchester AA target loads have long been the standard of performance in shotgun sports. Available in over 50 different load specs, the AA line is known for its 6% antimony shot, reloadable hull, clean burning propellant, and of course, the famous AA wad. Winchester AA, it's the choice of champions. My guests on the show today are definitely some shooters that you will have to look out for in the 2022 season. They all three finished in the top 15 at Nationals, and they're not stopping there. They're from the Southeast, and I'm glad to have them on with me. Please welcome Turner Parcell, Mike Luongo, and Ryan Harper. And I have Mike Luongo, Turner Parcell, and Ryan Harper on with me. And we're going to talk a little about a lot. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Not too bad.
Good. Good. It was easy to get Turner and Mike on, but trying to round up Ryan was a little different story. Seems like he always has something going on. You know, I'm sure, Mike, you've dealt with that some.
No, he's not that bad, right? He's never late for dinner, though. But he's pretty good. I mean, like I said, my wife probably likes him more than I do, but he's a good guy.
Yeah. Well, this is going to be a little different episode, really, than I've ever done before. The reason is that we got a coach and two shooters, and he's instructed both of these guys. They've come up through the ranks, and now these guys are as good, if not better, than the coach at times. And I think it'll be interesting to see what they have to say to each other. And Turner and Ryan, I want you to tell everyone who you are, what you're doing now, and how long you've been shooting.
All right, so I'm Turner Parcell. I live in South Carolina. I've been shooting for about 5 years now. You know, started shooting NSCA. My brother shot a little bit back in high school. Thought it was pretty good. You know, joined a local team, and here I am now, traveling all across the nation, shooting youth shooting in South Carolina. It's pretty fun, so.
And you're still in high school, junior in high school, right?
Yep, junior in high school.
All right. I can remember when I was a junior in high school, I think. Not real sure.
One time.
Same size, huh?
Come on, Ryan. Really? All right. It's your turn, big dog.
All righty. My name's Ryan Harper. I'm from Mulberry, Florida, and I started shooting about 6 years ago, going on my seventh. Started SCTP at Young Guns in Quail Creek, and then got with Mike, and kind of been history ever since. So I've been shooting seventh year now. So
I just can't. Turner said 5 years, Ryan said 6 years. I just can't believe how good these guys are shooting in 5 and 6 years. It's unbelievable. I mean, Turner finished. Where'd you finish, Turner, at Nationals?
I finished junior third, and I think master 11th in the main.
And Ryan, you finished somewhere up there. Where were you at?
Master fifth and Nationals.
Wow, that's crazy. I mean, that's just, you know, you see some guys who've been shooting 20 years and hadn't even finished in the top half of the field, much less, you know, fifth and 11th. I mean, that's crazy. Mike, if you had a sentence and you had to describe these guys in one sentence, what would you say about them?
I mean, bad to the bone. I mean, and two totally different shooters. I mean, I can elaborate a little bit on that if you want.
Yeah.
I'll start with Ryan. Ryan, I first met Ryan through mutual buddy, Double D, you know, now owns Cherokee Rose. He said, man, we got a young guy here. I think he could be good. We want to get you with him for some lessons. And I ain't going to lie, Justin, that guy was wicked right out of the gate. Doesn't practice. I'd hate to see if he practiced. He probably would be, you know, not master fifth. He'd probably be one, two, or three. He's not scared to miss. He's probably the best shooter I've ever worked with. No fear. He's not scared to miss. I mean, he'll shoot targets. We used to go out and shoot FITAS targets from 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 yards, and we go back and forth trading shots, and the guy's not scared to miss. I will say that about Ryan Harper. If people had his mentality of just go get the targets, and then practiced like, you know, Wendell had Wendell Cherry's method of practice, he'd probably be unbeatable, honestly. He's that good. I mean, I've watched a lot of shooters, and I mean, he's as good as any of them. Just, you know, he's doing a lot of things and different things going on, but I think that's what makes Ryan Harper Ryan Harper. He just lets it go, you know?
Yeah.
And then there's Turner Parcell. Turner's just the opposite, right? Turner's going to go out there. He's going to practice. He's very methodical. He's gonna give every shot, you know, 110%. He wants to know why he missed it and can't believe he missed it and how. So I would call like the perfect clone. If I had Harper shoot like Turner and like have that desire, but if I had Turner have the Harper, like I'm just going to send it and let it go, you probably have the perfect shooter. You know what I mean? but both getting it done very quickly in the game. I mean, it's pretty incredible. I know I wasn't anywhere near that good, you know, 5 to 7 years in the shoot, and I had to work hard at it. I mean, they're pretty incredible. I mean, look at the Nationals right there. You had a, you know, three of us had a top 10 finish.
Yeah.
You got one guy that hardly ever shoots, one guy that's seeing a million targets, and then one guy shooting all the time. So it's pretty cool to see people, you know, different stages, different ways to get it done, you know?
Yeah. That is, you know, I've never shot with Ryan. I've shot with Turner. I actually shot with Turner not that long ago, or a couple of weeks ago, actually, at Cherokee Rose when they had the Fraser 500. And it's exactly what you said, methodical. You could see that he sat there and thought about what he was going to do and executed well. And, you know, in Ryan, you're going to have to explain to me what you, or either Mike, when you say you're not scared to miss, what does that mean?
I mean, I guess you could say when I get in the cage, I'm not really thinking about anything. You know, it's kind of just an empty space up there. So,
yeah, I agree.
Nothing really goes on in my head. So I just kind of, I mean, I know where the birds are coming from. I know my hole points and break points. And I kind of just load the shell, close the gun, and call pull. That's about it.
So are you the kind of guy that's going to shoot them faster than you are weight on them?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah. You remember you were down at Georgia State shooting the make or break, watching you shoot those birds down there. I was thinking, my God, I can't even see these things before he's shooting them. I mean, it was crazy. And you had a gun issue and you lost that make or break, but I almost think you'd have won that make or break if your gun didn't give you a problem.
Yeah, that was an interesting night. I mean, I was on a roll, and then that's kind of hard to recover from when your gun just kind of stops working. So, but yeah. Oh, well. That's in the past, so
that's
I'm
right.
Looking forward now.
That's right. Turner, so tell me about the way you do it. You get up there, like I said, and you look methodical. You look like you're studying your next move or your next shot before you get ready to shoot. Kind of go into what you do and what you see.
Right. So, you know, I like to get down basically what my plan is before a shot and everything I'm going to execute while I'm watching the show birds and outside the cage. And once I kind of step into the cage, all I'm thinking my mind is basically like positive thoughts, like see the bird, you know, see it late, see it break, see, watch a target through the shot, stuff like that. And I mean, I'm one of those, I feel like is a good thing to have is where you hit the target, you just don't really change anything. Just put two more in there. You go, I still keep my positive thoughts, like see the bird break, stuff like that, but just keep him, put two more shells in there, just send it. So, but I mean, when I miss, it's just one of those things where I really, like Mike said, I really want to know why I missed, and I play it back in my brain, a little bit to think about and understand why I missed it. Like if I had a little bit too much gun speed, front hand got a little bit crazy, whatever it was, whole point, line, whatever. Just kind of want to figure that out. So, I can minimize my misses. Instead of missing two or three, I can only miss one. So,
yeah. Mike, what did you see in these guys early on that made you realize that they may be good one day?
Yeah, it's a great question, Justin. I mean, I watched so many shooters, and like I said, down in Florida when I started with the youth, I was able to see a lot of talent, and I just saw a funny story with Ryan, his very first lesson, he comes up to me and he's like, oh, by the way, tomorrow I'm going to the Camille Cup. And I'm like, oh, okay, you probably don't want to do that. put in new, and he goes, oh, by the way, this is after a 2-hour lesson, he's like, what's VTAS? Because I'm shooting that. And I'm like, oh, dear Lord, no, this is not good. I'm like, look, I give him like a 5-minute tutorial. I'm like, don't move. Like, simplest thing you could ever say. And then he shoots me a text. He's like, hey, I just won the VTAS. And I'm like, what? And he goes, I was like, what'd you shoot? Now, remember, he's in like D or C class at the time. He goes, oh, I shot a 90. And he goes, I won the juniors too. I'm like, wow. And then, I'm like, well, he's got it, obviously. But, I mean, I'm giving the guy a lesson, Ryan, and he's just got it. I mean, I'm just it's basically like having a race car and it just needs to be tuned, Ryan was great to work with because he didn't really, like I said, he didn't overthink it. And he just had it. He was born. I still say to this day, and I've had several top shooters agree with me, some people are just born with, three to five. Some people got to work for those 3 to 5 shots, right? They can both get it done, but some people are just born with it. Ryan's the guy that's kind of born with the shot. With Turner, he, basically a little different. He just had the smoothest gun move. I mean, he looked like a little Richard Falls, we call it. He's smooth, left-handed. And I'm like, wow, this kid's got a lot of talent too. Turner's biggest thing, and still to this day, his brain sometimes get in his way, like overthinking, right? And letting things get to his brain. That's just inexperience in his age. He's gonna get that. But I mean, last day the turn of the Nationals, day 4, I mean, me and Ryan were sitting 2 behind Turner. And Turner was going into arguably the easier course, and that's a whole different subject, but Turner flat out said he got nervous. You know what I mean? That's just inexperience. Let that kid have, let it happen to him next year. He can go out there. And I mean, I've seen him deliver on Sundays, I call it Amazon Prime. That's our joke with Turner. North Carolina State first day, he shoots like 83, high score is a 90. Me and Richard Sheik have 90s. Day 2, the course is super hard. Arguably harder than the first day, and he comes out and shoots a 95. Nobody's even close. He beat the closest guy by 5 birds on day 2. So we know he can do it. It's just getting him more experience. Same way at the East Coast Championship, he wasn't even on the leaderboard. Sunday comes out, shoots a 98. He's all the way up to master first. So we know he can do it. He just needs a little more experience. Look at Ryan, already has a little more experience than Turner, right? I mean, these guys are, it's tough game now. You better be out there putting in the work with guys like this coming up, not counting the talent we already have up there,
Yeah. Turner, he's talking about, how much you shoot. How much do you practice?
I try to shoot at least twice a week. Sometimes, twice during the week, and then on the weekend shoot a little, just a monthly shoot somewhere, a little local shoot, maybe in North Carolina or South Carolina. But when they have some tournaments out, I want to practice a lot for and kind of really passionate about it, I might, bump it up to 4. I might even do 5 times on 1 week if I'm feeling a little dangerous. But, I really try to go about 3, maybe 4 a week. So
yeah. And Ryan, you practice none?
I've probably this year, I'd say I've practiced five times probably. And I've shot in a charity shoot in probably 2 weekend tournaments. And then that's about it. I mean, when I get to a big tournament or something like that, I'll shoot a couple make or breaks, or might get a practice card and go out there and shoot about 10 shells or something like that before my main event, right before it. And yeah, that's really it. I don't really see targets other than that.
You know, Ryan, I'm going to bring up that you've, 5 months ago, you started shooting a new gun, and
yes,
and you finished fifth in nationals. What, I mean, how can someone do that like that?
Well, I kind of talked to, I'm going to throw his name out there, Zach. He kind of called me after I switched over, and he just told me, he said, cause I said, I shot it. That was like one of my practices was, I went out and was kind of having doubts at first. And I realized, I was like, well, this is the first time shooting this gun, cause I've never picked up that gun before, actually. And he just said, well, you need to just shoot it how the gun wants to be shot. Cause I was trying to force it. I was shooting my last gun, trying to make the same moves and everything. And he said, you just need to shoot it how it needs to be shot. Just let it run by itself. And I took that advice, and that really helped out a lot. But also, I think, you know, when you have some experience under your belt, or if you want to say somewhat close to the top of some shoots and stuff like that, a decent shooter, that anybody can really point just about any gun. I think it's just kind of a mental thing. I think just anybody can point just about any gun. So.
Yeah. Now, have you changed anything about this gun?
I had Mr. Rich put a couple weights underneath the forearm just to make it just a little bit heavier under my hands. And then I got a custom stock. I got a pattern stock right now.
Being a brand name in the clay target industry, Rick Hemingway has said, have you ever noticed almost all major sporting events are being run by Pro-Matic traps? Think about that statement for a minute. He's right. And you may want to consider that before making your next purchase. Rick is the largest Pro-Matic dealer specializing in individual and commercial trap sales. Rick provides skeet, trap, five stamp, and sporting clays, designs, installs, and service. He also offers accessories such as solar panels, wireless release systems, as well as the hottest item on the market, the Claybot by Rainier Products. Visit www.backwoodsquailclub.com or give him a call at 843-546-1466.
So, Mike, you say some guys just have it, right? But what if someone, yeah, what if someone doesn't have it? What kind of things can they do to get to where these guys are? You know, all the junior shooters or young shooters or youth shooters or like Ryan that just got out of the junior class, they all want to be good. But sometimes you're just good, and then sometimes you have to work to be good. What kind of things can these guys do to get to where these guys are?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I think proper trigger time, you know. I mean, I think, you know, when I was a kid, before I started, I wish I would have done it sooner, but I just shot with my buddies. You know, we went out there and shot. We didn't know anything. Like, we would just stand. We were lucky. We worked at a gun club after work. You know, our bosses were fortunate enough to let us shoot. And we moved around. We'd stand under towers. We'd shoot, just kind of make up our shots and just pull the trigger. I mean, you hear people say, you know, I do this, I do that, I'm trying this. Pull the trigger. There's nothing better than pull the trigger. Pull the trigger. I mean, yeah, you could do it wrong. Get it right. Like I said, the only regret I had, I didn't learn the game soon, like proper fundamentals. But once you get the fundamentals down, you get a good coach. I mean, we've got some great coaches in different areas. Find the guy. They're there to help you. That's what they do. You know, and talk to somebody, say, hey, I live in Indiana, whatever, you know, fine. We'll find you somebody who can help you get some proper coaching, somebody you can relate to, and then go pull the trigger. Don't rely on your coach. Let your coach help you say, hey, Mike, I'm really having trouble with overheads. Well, now I can help you. If you're like, man, I'm just terrible. Well, that doesn't help your coach either. And it doesn't help you, but pull the trigger. The more targets you see, like I said, experience. I didn't have all these, you know, targets and stuff when I was, you know, and we just shot and we made our own targets up and we set our own targets. And now I was lucky enough to be at a gun club, but go to some different gun clubs, get to know your target setter at your gun club. Say, hey, man, I'm really having trouble with 30-yard left to right crossers. See if they can set you up a couple and go shoot them. And then you'll know, hey, I'm not doing this right. Find yourself somebody who's knowledgeable and can coach you. Just don't think, hey, my buddy can help me. A good coach isn't going to tell you where you missed targets. They're going to tell you why you missed it and how to correct it. You know, that's getting proper coaching, and that's going to help you out. And I feel like that's why we're so good now. And, you know, most of us, you know, coaches, we're all friends. So we'll share. If I got a question, I'll call Anthony. I can text Zach. Heck, I talked to Wendell Cherry at the Nationals for 3 hours, and we were just talking about different stuff. You know what I mean? Won't even shoot the guy's style. Doesn't matter. He's a student. You know, he knows the game, and he was sharing some stuff that made sense to me. You know what I mean? So we're working together to try to, you know, better the sport, promote it, and get people. But I'd say put in the work. It's like anything. I told you, if you want to run your best time in the mile, start running the mile, right? You're not going to do it sitting on the couch, right? So you got to put the work in and talk to people and, you know, get with the Jim Greenwoods and the Rich Coles and, you know, these stock fitters, get people to help you out. You know, that's what they're there for.
I know some guys that have started their kids off shooting because they want to shoot, and they're 12 years old, 13 years old, and they're taking their kids to shoot every weekend or whenever it is that they're going. Do you think that it's a good thing for the dads don't know anything about shooting? I know their kids want to shoot the school teams and stuff like that. You think it's a good idea for them to just go out and let the kids shoot, or should they get a coach first to show them how to shoot somewhat so they don't create bad habits by themselves?
Yeah, I think at first let them shoot a little bit, but don't, you know, stay away from that 870 or, you know, that gun that's oversized or a big over and under that's going to kick with a heavy load, because dad doesn't know any better. He just wants to help his kid out and shoot. And scare the kid away. See if they like it first. But yeah, I mean, I highly suggest coaching. And, you know, I know these young guys like Ryan and Turner, for example, and they can help these younger guys too and mentor them, say, hey, man, I don't, you know, that gun might be a little too long for you. You know, stuff like that.
Turner, did you worry about what gun you shot when you started? Was that a big thing for you?
See, that's a funny story. So when I first started, dad bought me a $300 TriStar, camoed out, synthetic stock and everything. I thought it was some cool stuff. And I shot that literally my whole entire first year, shot it well, ended up, I won like SETP South Carolina State for my division in sporting clays, like a 96 or something like that. I mean, I shot it well. And then, you know, I saw all my teammates on the team, and then you know, all some pretty good shooters. They all shot over and unders, and I was like, well, you know, I mean, that might be a pretty cool thing to do, which is not a very good idea, like just to get a different gun, because always you might think it's a cool thing to do, you know, but, you know, that was my mistake with that. But I ended up getting a 686 Onyx, and they ended up working out pretty good for me. I mean, I loved that gun, shot it for a long time, talking about, I don't know, like 2.5 years, something like that, and it just start giving out on me, my stock crack, you know, have like 4 or 5 pins in it, something like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I wasn't really too, you know, big on what gun I shot at the very beginning, because I didn't know any better. I just shot that TriStar and just let it eat.
Yeah.
I mean, once I started to get, you know, more experience in the shooting, I understood more of a gun fit and what gun does, you know, certain type of things and what you want this gun for, or, you know, like, let's say you want to shoot trap, you might need to get a, you know, a trap single barrel high rib, or you want to shoot skeet, get you a little mid rib, or sporting clays flat rib, or something like that. So, yeah, you know, just basically kicking out what you feel like would be good for what, you know, what you want to focus on.
Yeah. Ryan, were you that way? Did you worry about what gun you had? You probably did, didn't you?
No, I did not. No, I mean, I can't. I was just trying to think when you asked me that question, what gun I actually started out with. I'd say in the very beginning, I shot my duck gun, my Super Vinci. I shot that for a couple months and then ended up moving over to a Beretta. I can't remember which model it is, but it was like a 26-inch barrel, and it was double full chokes, and I didn't really know anything about chokes back then. And then I went from that to a... I went from that to a Blauser. One of my buddies that shoots down here gave my dad a deal on it. So I shot that for probably a year. And then I started getting into the, you know, all the guns and all that kind of stuff, and just kind of chose really what I wanted, what I thought best fit me.
Yeah.
But no, I didn't really care too much when I first started out.
Broke about 50 of them, Justin. or joke with Ryan Hunter, yeah. A gun. He's a Grim Reaper of guns. He kills a gun. He breaks them. It's unbelievable. But
yeah, I hardly touch my gun, but for some reason, you know.
Yeah, just, yep, that was our joke. He's like, Mike, you'll never believe it happened. I just broke my gun. I'm like, are you kidding me? He's like, no. Yeah. Later, I broke my gun again. I'm like, dude, I've been shooting my gun for 12 years straight. I don't even service it, and it runs. What's going on? So that was
a joke. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, just like when I got back from Nationals, just about every shoot, I got back from Nationals, and my gun's sitting over there still in the case. I haven't taken it out of my gun sleeve, and it's still sitting against my wall over here, so it hasn't moved since I got back.
That's crazy. You don't even clean it, do you, Ryan?
I clean the outside of it.
I do too.
I clean the inside of the receiver, but I shouldn't be saying this. I don't really clean down the boards or anything like that. It's just.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure. Mike, look at your gun. Look at all the bluing that's off of yours. You can't say anything.
Old baby. It's weathered. It's ready to go.
Hey,
seasons.
Hey, Ryan, I want you to tell some stories about Mike. What's the funniest story that you know of Mike?
Yeah, we've definitely had some good times. I mean, I can tell you one time I got Mike in trouble, which was honestly, that was pretty funny to me. So we were the one year I shot SCTP. Mike, you think I should tell this story?
And it's up to you. I'm free and clear now, SCTP, so roll with it.
So the one year I shot SCTP, I shot it with a couple of my buddies, Clayton Cutshaw and Nick Blinker, and we were all on a team, and we ended up winning the tournament by, I don't know, 26 or something like that, the Nationals. And so my dad ended up going out, I think it was just my dad, maybe. He went out and got a couple of cigars for us, you know, celebratory cigars, and you could a little bit of sparkling grape juice. I mean, I'll just do the PG version, a little bit of sparkling grape juice. And I ended up somehow going on social media, and that ended up backfiring on Mike. And that really, I mean, that honestly kind of made my day when I found that out, because I thought it was so funny. But there's too many stories. I got too many stories about Mike. And
so he gets you in trouble for drinking, Mike?
But yeah, I mean, they're like, oh, it's my phone. I don't know, Justin. I wasn't even there, right? So I had to fly back out to work. They stayed for the awards, and I have these, like, parents and, I mean, other shooters. They're sending me pictures. Oh, my God, your team's drinking. They won the national championship. What kind of guy? I'm like, whoa, and I got to deflate this whole thing, you know? And I'm like, trust me, that is not what we promote. I mean, I don't even drink myself. So every time Justin, they got me drunk, they have it. At parties, graduation parties, but I'm pretty it's pretty funny. But yeah, I had to deflate that whole thing. They got me all over the place, and I'm like, please, your kid is safe with me, okay? My kids are out there drinking champagne, okay? You know, like,
Justin, what would you do? Justin, what would you do if you won the Nationals by that much and you had a big old cup there and your dad just brings out that stuff? I mean, you obviously got to pour it in it.
I said, hey, I was in a whole other state. They were in Ohio. I was in Florida. Okay, so.
My dad gave it to me. It's all right. I mean, I'll be all right.
Yeah. I'd have just asked for a glass of sweet tea. Been done with it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Turner, you got any stories like that about Mike?
That's open. All right, so me.
This year?
And this guy in North Carolina legend, Wesley Elliott, a heck of a shooter. I mean, deadly. But so we have this, I don't mean if people see me at shoots and stuff like this, we have this big old Mercedes van that we take and we haul around the trailer and the cart and everything like that. Well, me, Mike, and Wesley loaded up into this, we call it a party bus. We loaded up into the party bus for this like 17-hour journey to Kansas to go shoot the U.S. Open. And if I mean people know me at these shoots too. A lot of the times they'll see me at shoots, and my mom's like always with me. She goes with me basically every single shoot I go to. And at this one, it was a boys trip for like the good first half of it. It was just me, Mike, and Wesley. And so we're going up there. I'm having a ball, and I'm just hanging out with the boys, talking, laughing, carrying on, whatever, stuff like this. And so we get to we finally get to where we're staying at in Kansas. It's at this, I don't even know what the place is called, but it was like a casino hotel, whatever. Okay. And one thing I have learned about Mike, all right, he's a gambling man, okay? He is a gambling man. So first thing we get up in there, got up all the stuff and everything to the room, stuff like that. Mike's like, all right, you and Wesley. I was like, Turner, you stay with Wesley. I'm fixing to go hit the show floor. I was like, okay. And he stays in there. He's gambling, whatever. And then so me and Wesley decide to go check what's up. So we walk up in there. Mike's hitting the roulette, hitting the slot zoo, whatever. He's getting excited. Woo, winning money. losing a little bit of money, too. We won't talk about that. But
up and down, baby.
Up and down. So, that was just fun stuff there. And, I mean, it was like, for the first half of the, his mom was supposed to come on like the third day of the shoot. And I was like, I'm having so much fun. So I called dad and I'm like, I don't know, I'm having so much fun with everybody. I don't know, I kind of want mom to stay home for a couple of days, come a little bit later. And I mean, that was a little bit hard pill for mom to swallow, but you know, she ended up coming later on in the week, and it was the boys for the first half of the week. And I mean, it was fun. It was real good stuff. I mean, one of the lucky thing was the Mike was just rubbing the back of my head and he hit big. Oh, major jackpot.
Jackpot. So the joke was you got to rub Turner's head, the back of his head. You know?
That was a fun week there.
Yeah. Yeah. Your mom's a good trapper. She's good.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you. She's got it up now.
Yeah. She's good with that.
You can trap, score, do whatever you want to. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Turner, what's your, you know, the season's over. What was your highlights of the 2021 season?
South Carolina State was a big one for me going into that one. It was at my home club, Rocky Creek. You know, Mike is the manager and everything there, and that's where I shoot all the time. And it was one of my big goals to go to that shoot and shoot pretty well, and hopefully, you know, win resident. That was one of my big goals. And so I thought it's actually a funny story. I practiced, you know, pretty hard the whole entire year. That was one of my big, you know, focuses. And about 3 weeks out of the tournament, I had a little bit of an eye dominance issue. So everybody knows I'm a left-hand shooter. Well, about 3 weeks before that shoot, started, I was having a little trouble with some, basically every target coming from the right, I was just having trouble with it. I couldn't figure it out. And so I go to have a lesson with Mike, and we're talking about stuff like that. Come to find out, my eye dominance has completely switched. I'm a left-hand shooter, and my eye dominance is like pure right.
Wow.
And it was not a good situation going on there. So, you know, Mike, you know, analyzed it real quick. He was real good with that and figured out what the problem was real quick. You know, texted and called some other, you know, pretty knowledgeable shooters, and they kind of confirmed the same thing. Yeah, that's what was going on. So what we resulted to was put a little scotch tape on the glass, you know, on the glasses, make me just a one-eye shooter for a little bit. So I practiced for about a week and a half, just one-eye shooter, scotch tape on the right eye, just shoot with the left eye, just sending it. And about a week before South Carolina State started, I felt like my eye balance had switched back a little bit to being left, and I took the tape off and practiced a little bit, and I felt like I was shooting okay, but I don't know how. It was basically a toss-up of how I was shooting that tournament. And so we finally get there. No really expectations, honestly. I wanted to go in there and win resident, but I was really, you know, didn't even know what I was going to do because of my eye dominance. So we go there, and the tournament started on Thursday. Shot the prelim on Thursday, Friday. Felt okay about them. Shot pretty good in the one on Thursday. And the first day of the main goes. I shoot on the oak course, was my favorite course. Everybody knows that. But so it's my favorite course. I shoot a pretty good score the first day. I was like, well, darn, you know, maybe I might have a shot at something. And then, you know, everybody's talking and we're all having a good time at that shoot. And maybe that's just a good shoot. One thing too, because I mean, everybody, all friends around, everything like that. And Then we ended up shooting the second day of the main, and then I ended up with I think 182 total for the main after that, and I didn't really feel great about it. There's a couple big shooters in South Carolina that could have tied me, maybe beat me, stuff like that. I didn't really know what was going on with that, but come to find out once the final shot had been shot, old Rick Hemingway, the man himself, old Trick Rick, he ended up tying me for resident HOA. And let me tell you, I was a little nervous. That was probably one of the biggest, shoot-offs, or one of the things that meant most to me for that year. And so we ended up having to shoot off. Rick, he shot a pretty good score in the shoot-off, in my opinion, and it got me a little nervous. But he ended up winning the shoot-off, but I ended up runner-up resident. But it was still a really good experience for me, and I tied for the high score for resident in South Carolina, which is, was one of my plans, was to shoot good, shoot and make, have one of the high scores. So that was one of my highlights there.
Yeah, I could tell you, shooting off with Rick, that's not a good situation to be in.
No, he came off, I'm telling you, right after the man.
Especially if he's running that jaw, he's good at that.
I'm telling you, right after the main, he had come off and he was working, getting those straps back on our trailer to bring back to backwoods or whatever, and got called for the shoot off or whatever. Comes riding up on that cart. I'm already down at the shoot off area. Rick comes riding up on that cart, sweating bullets. I mean, he just been working. His hands are dirty, everything like that. And he gets up into the cage and we coin flip. I win the flip. And I was like, I was like, this means too much. I'm not trying to give my opportunity up, so I'll make him go first. I'll stick him in the cage. But he shot pretty good score in shoot-off, so congrats to Rick on that. But
yeah, I mean, I'd have to say your nationals is probably a pretty good.
Yeah, most definitely. Oh, yeah. Nationals was a big thing. I mean, that was one of my big goals, too, was to go shoot good at nationals. And I mean, shot an okay score the first day in the main, I felt like, in the wind on the green course. And then followed with a 67 on the green, and followed the next 2 days with 71. But like Mike said earlier, got a little nervous on the last day. I'd known I'd shot a pretty good score throughout the week, and I felt like I was pretty high up, and the nerves got to me a little bit. I ran the first half of the course on orange, but then once I missed on my back half, I missed. It was rough. But
what about you, Ron? What's your highlights of the year?
I'd say my highlight of the year was probably, obviously nationals, because I shot pretty decent there. Probably the regional at Anthony's, when I had to shoot off against, I'm telling you, there's nothing up there. It's just space. I can't remember anything.
Yeah, exactly. Logan Crane, I believe.
Yeah.
My memory's a bit of panic compared to Ryan.
I had a shoot off with him, and I ended up being, getting lucky and winning that shoot off and getting a podium. And that was my second podium at a regional or a big shoot, and that was kind of a proud moment. I was actually didn't think I was going to be able to place. I thought it'd be somewhere in top 10 because I shot the harder course, or what I thought the harder course was, the second day, and ended up with a 94 on it. So it was a little bit of a comeback. I actually had my gun packed up, my vest was packed up, all the shells were packed up in the trailer, and I had the Polaris loaded on the trailer, and I was literally in the truck driving out, and I checked the scores one last time just to see the final results and everything, see who actually won. And I looked on there and said shoot off. I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. And I was just kind of in shock. I was happy, but I was also just like, oh, man, I'm already packed up, and I've already got my mind going home. And so I ended up hopping out real quick. My mom was with me, and she was all excited, and I grabbed all my vest, and thank goodness I had enough time. I had to go back out of the truck and grab some more shells before our shoot off started, because I didn't realize I didn't have any shells in my vest. But and grabbed my gun and just kind of went there and became successful. And that was kind of a highlight, especially having my mom there, someone in my family. Because the first regional that I placed at was the Southeast, down in South Florida. And that was another, I shot that the first rotation, and actually shot, loaded up truck, and went straight home, because it was my niece. It was her second birthday. So I ended up having to go back there, and I was with my whole family there, and we all celebrated once we found out that I put him there. And that was, I mean, that's probably the top highlight of my career, was celebrating that with my family. But this year, I'd say probably podium at Northeast Regional at Anthony's.
Yeah. Ryan, if you had to give a junior shooter coming up trying to be good, he's working hard, he, she, whichever one it is, what kind of advice would you give him?
Definitely find, you know, if you've been shooting just for a little bit, you kind of got the real basics down with safety and just kind of, you know, true pairs and report pair. Definitely recommend finding a good coach, you know, getting opinions on a good coach and doing a little bit of research on that and advice from other people. And then once you get with a new coach, I would say, you know, travel to the bigger shoots. Try not to shoot as many, you know, don't be a weekend warrior and get all your punches and on a weekend tournament, you know, travel these big shoots, compete with people from all around the nation and, you know, work your way up that way. And I mean, that'll kind of place you that way, you know, that's where you're at, compared to everybody else that's shooting on your level in the same class and stuff.
Yeah.
Definitely just travel the bigger shoots and get the experience too under your belt.
Turner, are you shooting SCTP?
I am. Yes, sir.
You're not shooting high school, and you say you're shooting on a club team, but you also shoot SCTP.
Yeah. So we have like three different organizations in South Carolina for youth shooting. We have SCTP. We have DNR, which kind of like the, you know, South Carolina DNR kind of runs that. And then we have SUISF, which is actually, I think it's like the largest, like just mainly sporting clays youth organization in the nation. Is that right, Mike?
Yeah, so like independent, you know, one state. There's, yeah, it's incredible. It's got, Rick told me the other day, his first shoot has seven next week, Justin. They've got 791 kids signed up for a one-day shoot.
That's crazy. The number of youth that are shooting blows my mind. Every time I hear something like that, I don't, it's hard for me to understand that there's,
man,
that,
I love it.
There's that many kids or youth. They're all just all at one place shooting, having a good time. That's just crazy.
Absolutely.
And it seems like we've talked before on a podcast, that South Carolina, is it South Carolina that's got the biggest turnout in kids?
Yeah, man. I mean, it's, you know, my boss actually, you know, David Chestnut, mm-hmm. and there's a whole board. He's the president of the foundation. It's called the South Carolina Youth Shooting Foundation. I mean, and they work their butts off. It's, you know, I tell people, it's competitive, but it's not competitive. And what I mean by that is you have your Turners and, you know, like Madison Sharp came out of there, people like that. You know, there's Gabe Boggs, there's a couple of Jackson Louder, a bunch of you kids that ended up being very competitive sporting clay shooters in the NSCA. But that program really is to start kids out, show them what safety is, teach them how to handle a gun. And I don't know the exact stats, but we have, like, these kids have the highest GPAs. They get no trouble. Like 90%+ of them go to college. It's a pretty amazing program. But we're not there. They're not there to say, oh, I'm going to be the next Ryan Harper. They're there to just shoot, and they might be the next Ryan Harper, the Turner Parcell. But it's more about, you know, showing them the shooting disciplines. And then what's neat, man, the mom's like, I want to try it. And the dad's like, I want to try it. And, you know, you'll get out there on a Sunday afternoon, like at my club, and, you know, there's like 10 to 12 different school teams, from middle school to high school. And they're all shooting practice with their mom, their dad. It's unbelievable. It's pretty cool stuff, you know.
Yeah.
It's not designed to be, you know, we're not going to throw targets that you would see at a state shoot or nationals or a big regional level shoot. You're getting basic targets, and it's about letting that kid that's never held a gun and it's his first shoot and his nerves are racking. And then, you know, Turner's going to shoot a 99, or, you know, it is what it is. You're there to just kind of let people shoot. The best shooters are going to shoot a big score. But the brand new shooter, he's never fired a gun, he's not going to shoot a 20, right? They're going to shoot a 50 or 60, and they're going to come back, and then they want to shoot a 70. And I think it's one of the coolest programs out there
yeah.
for youth shooting.
Castellani shooting vests are manufactured in Italy and internationally recognized by elite shooters as the most popular lightweight shooting vests on the market. Castellani vests are especially known for their Italian styling and superior craftsmanship and quality, making them a vest of choice for all shooting disciplines. Ultimate Shooting Accessories is the exclusive supplier of Castellani vests in the United States. Visit ultimateshootingaccessories.com for more information and to place your order.
Are you gonna shoot more this year or next year, I should say, Mike?
Yeah, you know, last year for me, Justin, it was a tough year because I had the South Carolina State shoot. We were busier than ever. I had more corporates than ever. We had the largest South Carolina State shoot in the history of they've ever had. Mm-hmm. Our monthly shoots, I mean, we had 202 shooters at a monthly shoot in July. So wow. In South Carolina, I mean, that's not even heard of, you know what I mean? You don't get a shoot like that in Florida in January, you know what I mean? With all the people traveling down there. So I had a pretty wild year. I had a very successful year in business. So my shooting kind of was on the back burner. I was still able to get to 4 or 5 shoots. You know, I still got around 80 something punches. I mean, I'm right there. But yeah, I just actually had dinner with my boss man tonight. We talked about that. I mean, I made a promise to a couple people. I have time. I mean, my job's first, my coaching's first, selling guns, that kind of stuff, business, being a father. But I am going to make a little more time to compete at some of the bigger ones just because, you know, it's hard. I'll shoot lights out and then I won't get to compete for 5 months. You know what I mean? So we're going to work on that. I plan on shooting a little more because I don't have any major shoots this year. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, you're always a threat when you go, that's for sure. I don't know if you're going to be a threat when you got Ryan and Turner sitting there with you.
Tough, man. I'm telling you. So I tell you, people my age, it's getting tough on all of us. You know, you kind of look at the names of the Nationals, the greats out there and stuff. And then you see, you know, Ryan Harper, Turner Parcell, people like that. You know, it's pretty cool. It's cool. It's great for the sport. I mean, me and Anthony talked about it. It just kind of makes us more competitive. We know we're going to have to step it up, right? You got to be like, okay, let's go. You know, it's good competition. I love competition, whether it's work or anything. So I think it keeps you at your best game. So we want these guys to push us. You know what I mean? It's great.
Yeah. All right, let's switch gears a little bit. Talk about what you like to do when you're not shooting. Let's see what Ryan's got to say about that.
What I like to do when I'm not shooting.
Yeah, what's your hobbies? What do you like to do when you're not shooting?
I definitely like to go out and hunt and fish. My hobbies were I love gator hunting. I love catching gators. I mean, that's definitely a big one.
Wait a minute. You say catching them?
Yeah, catching them, you know. You got to use your hands. You got to get down and dirty. You ain't going to use no bang stick down here or anything like that.
All right, well, you got
to. I witnessed it, Justin. I did it. And my buddy Corey, we did it with Ryan and his dad. Yep.
Yeah, Mike was like a little six-year-old girl. He was screaming, jumping back on the buggy, and
that ain't no joke. Away. Huge man, I was running.
He was doing all that in the Star Wars crotch and everything.
Yeah.
All right, you're gonna have to explain to me how you just kind of run down. You about to catch a gator? What do you got to do to catch a gator?
All right, so I'll just use a story as an example. So I had my dad's buddies from his fraternity brothers from college. They came down 3 years ago, I'd say, 2 or 3 years ago, and we had a property then where we got a whole bunch of private land under gator tags, and we wanted to catch a big one. We wanted to catch, you know, something that'd be, you know, we'd never forget. So we actually caught a couple little babies, and I used a little treble hook on a spinning reel, and we caught a couple babies and took some pictures with them, stuff like that, you know, 4 or 5 footers, and then actually, the last day or second to last day, we checked out this pond that we had never been to before. We didn't even know there's water. And the guy that was with us, he actually saw it looked like a little mound, probably 300 or 400 yards away from us. We looked out there, and it was definitely a gator's back. He had just eaten a hog or a deer or something. And so there was no way we could get to him. But just casting the rod. So I decided with the guy who helps us, you know, the licensed trapper that's with us, one of our buddies, me and him decided, we'll grab the rods and the ropes and hooks and stuff, and we'll try and wade out to him. So we started walking out, I looked back, and there's probably 6 or 7 of us ended up going. We waded out to probably knee deep. and got about 20 yards from the gator probably and cast it over him. You just cast that spinning reel right over him with a little treble hook, and it don't stick in him. It just hooks a scale or something like that, so you know where he's at. And then once you got that, you take the big treble hook with a rope, and you walk real close to him, you know, probably 10 feet away or something like that. Throw it over their backs, and, you know, once you feel that little bit of stiffness on the end of it at a point, then you yank it, and then the fun starts. Then he starts rolling, fighting and all that kind of stuff, and we didn't really know how big he was, but when he stood up out of the water, it was just kind of a shock and awe for all of us, and he was too heavy. We had 9 people end up coming out there, and no one could pull him out. He's still alive at this point, by the way. No one was pulling him out, even budging him, so we actually got an airboat in, called our buddy with an airboat, and he drug him back up, and at that point, you know, he's on the ground alive on, you know, hard land, and someone's got to grow a set and jump on his back, and I mean, one person's got to get up there and kind of, if his mouth is open, you stick your foot on top of his mouth, and don't do this at home, kids, just by the way. You stick your foot on top of his mouth and close it down because he doesn't have that much muscle to hold his mouth open, so you do that, and then someone jumps on his back at the same time, and then you duct tape his mouth and start taking a couple pictures with him. And that's about that. And typically, yeah, we don't use guns. I mean, we don't, unless you're someone like Mike, you know, we got a sissy or something like that. And we'll typically use a K-bar.
I'm the guy. I'm the most important person out there when they're catching a gator. I'm the guy all the way up on the swamp buggy video camera in that thing.
Yeah, get him.
I'd be up there with
him. Show the proof. We got a video that's hilarious, and I'm so, you can hear me like nervous, out of breath. And I'm probably 25 feet away from this gator, and I'm not even close. And I'm videoing it, and it was great.
I would be I'd be up there with you for sure, without a doubt.
I hear you, man.
No, you gotta get that adrenaline, get down on top of them, you know, sit on them while they're still alive, feel them breathing. It's awesome.
Nah, that ain't gonna be me. Turner, you gonna do that?
No, I'm good.
Yeah.
No.
I think you'd have to do that by yourself, buddy. I'd love to watch it, but I sure don't want to have to take part in sitting on top of him, feeling him breathe. That's the last thing I want to do.
His mouth got some electrical tape around it, holding it shut, so you're good. All the only thing you got to watch out for is that tail. And so, and that tail hurts. I mean, that gator that we caught ended up being 12'9", and he had a snaggle tooth up front from getting in a fight when he was younger. And then he had probably 6 to 8 inches off of his tail too, bitten off by another gator. So he was a good one, but
yeah, sounds like it. You see any of those big snakes down there in Florida?
No, we ain't seen no pythons where I'm at. I mean, I'm in Central Florida,
yeah.
So I haven't seen one yet, thank goodness. But if I do, he's probably gonna be up on the wall somewhere later on.
Yeah, he's gonna get it, ain't he?
Yeah, he is. That skin's gonna be hanging across my ceiling.
I saw a picture where when you left Nationals, did you go hunting somewhere?
Yeah, I was fortunate enough, me and my dad and my brother and a couple of our friends went straight from San Antonio and went straight out to New Mexico on a private ranch and went elk hunting, and all three of us, we had 3 tags, and for the 3 kids, me and my brother and our buddy, and all 3 of us ended up tagging out in 3 days, which was pretty awesome. That was just an awesome experience.
Yeah, that is cool. Turner, what you like to do when you're not shooting or going to school?
You know, I really like sports a lot. Like, I mean, if you think of a sport, you know, like football, basketball, baseball, soccer, like even wrestling, stuff like that. I've done it all through my, my high school, childhood experience, whatever. But, I really like watching college football. I love that a lot. You know, my mom went to Carolina, so we watch all the Carolina games and, like watching basketball and stuff like that too. But I don't know, one thing that I don't know, maybe a good amount of people know, but I really don't know if they do. But, you know, one thing, old Mike Luongo over here is a nasty bowler.
Yeah. All right, so hold on a minute. So we go from catching gators to being a bad bowler. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, no, he's good.
I know, that's what I'm talking about.
Compared to me.
Hey, Justin, you know the same thing?
What? Might not be good to those big pros or whatever in bowling, but hey, to me, you know, I'm not a seasoned vet.
I'm a newbie, and he's pretty good.
Justin, you know, pretty much that has kind of the same thing into it as both of those stories.
What's that?
Mike's still wearing his Star Wars Crocs, doing both of those things.
I don't have them on tonight.
His Star Wars Crocs?
Yeah, man. One of my old students, Ashley Blinker, I loved Star Wars when I was a kid, and she bought me these Star Wars Crocs.
You were a kid?
No, I like all the Star Wars movies. Heck yeah! So she brought me Crocs, so I wear them.
Yeah, I've never got into to Star Wars.
Nah, I just like it. Yeah, it's good stuff.
I didn't either. Never seen it.
None of them?
No.
Missed out, Ryan.
The only thing I've ever watched in Star Wars was I was in the movies whenever the last one came out and I saw a preview, and I didn't really, it didn't really grab my attention.
Mike, so you like, all right, Turner, Mike likes the bowl. What about, let's finish that.
Well, one time, we had on Tuesday or something like that up in, where is that? I think like Chester or something like that. There's this bowling alley, and like you get a little bit of a discount if you go bowl on Tuesday night or whatever. So Mike says, well, why don't we go bowling? So me, Mike, and this one of my friends, his name's Jake Wade, and he shot in the SUYSF. He worked at Rocky Creek for a little bit, and we all went to go bowl. And so me and my Rocky Creek, we drive to this bowling alley, and we get out, and I mean, I'm sitting here. I think I'm looking at some professionals. I mean, I get out. I don't have a special fancy ball. I don't have my own shoes. Here we go. Mike and Jake Wade are getting out the car. Mike's got this bag that has like a good 7 or 8 bowling balls, and he's got these fancy shoes. Jake Wade's got the same thing, coming out with this bag, rolling bag, walking up in this bowling alley. I'm like, we got some professionals on my hand here. And so we walk up in there, and I'm using the house ball and everything like that. I'm not too good at bowling, but I mean, they just start going to work. Mike had to get back into it a little bit. That elbow's giving him a little bit of a problem, but. Mm. Getting old.
So, Mike, you got your own bowling balls you take with you?
Yeah, man, I used to be active when I was younger. I hadn't bowled in years. They wanted to go one night. And yeah, I probably got 15, 16 bowling balls.
Really? Ryan, why do you keep laughing?
Sorry, it's just nothing. Go ahead.
Mike, don't let him pick
he's
on you.
He's out there, Ryan. I mean, I just like, I bowled a lot, like 3 nights a week when I was younger, like early 20s, I'd go all really? The time.
Mike's prepared for everything. He's got all those bowling balls, and I can tell you a funny story about him. Probably the second year I was shooting, we went down to that the Digweed World Warm-Up. Is that what it was, Mike?
Yeah, like they brought Digweed in to set the
targets. Yeah, so I was on a squad, and he was straight, and he got, we got down the last 2 stations, and one was a little close rabbit, and I was like, oh, this is going to be the one he's going to miss. It's going to hop on if he misses, and he ran that station, and I kind of knew it was going to happen, and I'm telling you, he kind of has, like those bowling balls, that last station, when he ran it, he's got this little tiny briefcase, I call it, and it's just his chokes that he carries and puts on each station, and he opens it up, and he kind of examines each choke, and then unscrews and screws the other choke in. And when he shot that 100, as soon as he finished, he grabbed that little briefcase and he just shook it in the air. He was so happy and so proud about that. But he's always prepared. He's got 15 bowling balls, a little briefcase, and he's got the four-wheel drive Crocs.
Dude, I'm prepared. That's a fact. Just you name it, I'm prepared. Everything I do, I'm like OCD. I've got all the gadgets, and everybody's like, why you change chokes? I'm like, I'm not that good. I need an advantage, right? Like, guy asked me at the Nationals, he's like, man, what choke did you put in there? I'm like, I see. He goes, why? I go, I don't like that target. I want to make sure I at least hack it.
Yeah.
I just, I'm joking, guys. I'm there to have a good time. Promote the game. But when it comes to something, I'm all in. I mean, you name it, bowling, I'm all in, whatever. I get all into it.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah.
Hey, sometimes when I see does the work.
That's right.
The work.
Yeah, it does. This was a shoot before the last shoot that Cherokee Rose had, the Fraser 500. They had a true pair and a standard course set up there a few weeks prior to that. And I went up there and shot skeet chokes at everything and was surprised at what they did. You know what I mean? I mean, they'll hit them. So.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. I mean, ICs are, I definitely lost my, I mean, I wouldn't change chokes when I was, when I first started out really that much, but I mean, I would a little bit, and then I kind of changed my views after.
At that same shoot, Cherokee Rose at Justin, I think I shot these Rhino Skeet 2s the whole entire way. Say about Skeet 2s now. Are they the 7s?
Are they the 7s?
Yeah, 7s.
That's what I was shooting there, those same chokes.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, it will crush a target.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. Well, guys, it's been fun having you on tonight. Fun conversations. That's what I always like to have. Turner, I know you've got some people you want to thank. Who you want to thank?
Definitely want to thank, you know, Mike and everything he's done for me, and the, you know, David Chestnut and the people at Rocky Creek. They always, you know, put on good shoots and set some really, you know, outstanding targets, really good practice targets. You know, I can go out every single day if I wanted to and just have a good set of targets. So, you know, practice. You know, I want to thank, you know, Scott and Jody and all of them from Rhino Choke for, you know, helping me and supporting me for the past year. Mm-hmm. You know, Granny and Mike Sherman from PMS, they've been really helpful for me and, you know, kind of attending to my needs a little bit. You know, I break a little bit of things on guns sometimes, and Mike Sherman knows that, and he helps me every single time. So, you know, I'm really thankful for them. And, you know, Eric Roden and Heather Roden from Bear Pelt. You know, they've helped me. You know, I just joined the Bear Pelt team right before, you know, NSCA Nationals. So, you know, I really want to thank them and everything like that.
Well, good. Good. Ryan, you got anybody you want to thank?
Yeah. I'd like to thank, first off, my parents, you know, having their support through all these years of shooting. Just kind of having my back and supporting me the whole way through thick and thin. And then Mike for, you know, getting me to where I am. And then Mr. Rich and Miss Donna down there at Cold Gunsmithing, they're a great help on literally everything. I mean, anything you need, you can go straight to them and they'll help you out immediately. And then, let's see. Yeah, I mean, the good Lord up above for letting us be able to do this sport.
Mike, I know you got some people you want to thank too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the biggest person I like to thank, the biggest company, Krieghoff International. They've been with me thick and thin, you know, work around my schedule, help me out. They're going to probably be my lifetime sponsor. The joke I had with Alex the other day, you know, Remington Shells, Vista Group. I've shot them forever, and now I have their support behind me. Rocky Creek Sporting Clays, the owner, David Chestnut, super supportive of the sport. And I just like to thank all the people in the industry that help us, Chromatic Traps, all those guys who help all the guys who work the shoots, the target setters, that promote the game, and, you know, all my students and, you know, the guys coming up and ladies coming up. And I want to thank you, Justin, for giving people the knowledge over the podcast, because that's a popular thing now in today's world. And thank you and your support to the industry and everything y'all do for our sport.
Yeah, man, I enjoy doing it. And the thing about it is you meet people like you guys, you know, and get to have conversations, see them at shoots. And, you know, I see Ryan at shoots and goof off with him all the time. So it's fun to be able to do that and get perspectives from different people on what they do and how they do it, and be able to relay it to the other people listening. So it's fun doing it. But anyway, I appreciate all you guys coming on and spending some time with me tonight. And I'm sure the people listening will enjoy the stories and everything you've had to share.
Yeah. Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
No problem.
All right, guys. Well, I'll see you, I guess in 22. That's, you know, Jack Lynx. That's the first one I'm going to. I know Ryan will be there. I don't know about Turner and Mike, but
I'll be there.
People better watch out. I'm actually going to practice for that one now. There's a curse on that.
He's greedy, Justin. Couple of hours.
Ryan said he's going to. When are you going to start practicing? The week of the shoot?
No, probably like 2.5-3 weeks out, somewhere in there.
Is that what
I don't believe?
I don't either, but I'm just saying that.
That's the plan. That's the plan, isn't it?
That's the plan. It depends, you know.
All right, guys. Well, I'll see you then. If you need anything, just give me a shout.